I want you to know that I was born in a small town in North Carolina that had no hospital. At least when I was born, it had no hospital. So I was born at home. It was in October, and it was chilly. So my parents put me in the oven to keep me warm. I'm delighted they did not close the oven door. I had two parents. Imagine that. I had two parents because I learned later it takes two to make a baby. And there are, of course, many, many things that I don't remember about those earliest days of my life. But remarkably, I do remember these two things. The first thing I remember is having my diaper changed. I really do. Do any of you remember that? I remember seeing my legs up in the air like this, and I remember the sensation. Oh, never mind. I also remember my first awkward steps. I remember hanging on to somebody's thumb or finger and walking and falling or trying not to fall. I didn't realize it then, but I was very dependent on others to take care of me and to keep me safe and to keep me healthy and to help me cope with this new thing called life. And I'm sure you understand because you all went through it too. All of you did. And praise God, we matured and our bodies grew and our minds learned. And we have survived all of that with the help of our parents and maybe with siblings and with our friends and certainly lots of teachers. Thank you, God, for our teachers. Oh, yes. And with the help of a lot of doctors. We need to prevent diseases and we need to treat diseases as we grow up especially and move forward. Thank you, God, for all the doctors, too. Boy, am I glad all of that is behind me. Or is it? Now that I'm getting older, I may still have to have my diaper changed. And I'm having to deal with all those awkward steps and hoping I won't fall. Have you noticed how I'm walking these days? Intercessory prayer. And I'm getting to know lots and lots of doctors. Anybody? Okay. Life goes on and on, doesn't it? And sometimes it gets very, very tiring. Now, I shared all of that as an introduction to a familiar scripture that I'm about to read from John chapter 3. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He was a very smart guy. He came to Jesus at night and he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied to him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Now, I love the way Nicodemus is portrayed in the TV series The Chosen. A very smart guy with big wide eyes as Jesus says all these incredulous things to him. I can just see him reacting to what Jesus has just said. He says, "How can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one, how many? No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Water and the Spirit. It takes two. Now, before I go on with that, let's stop for just a moment and deal with something. No one knows for sure what Jesus meant by the use of the word water. Many people assume that that means natural birth. But others say, oh, no, it had to be spiritual somehow. Like what? Well, like water baptism, maybe? Or like living water? Or like many of the symbolic uses of the word water in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we simply don't know what he meant by that word work. Regardless, Jesus was saying that it takes two. Two what? Two life-changing events. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ as God's Son and your Savior, you have experienced the mysteries of both. And you have now been born again. And I hope I can say that about every person in this room here. Peter described it this way. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not by perishable seed, but of imperishable. Through the living and enduring Word of God. Oh, so now we have another source. The Word of God. Can you see how easy it is for biblical scholars to debate and interpret the Word of God ad nauseum? Let's not get lost on that path. Let's just stick with this. Jesus said that you and I must be born again. You and I must be born again. And one of the results of that is that we have two natures. We have in us the old nature and the new nature. It takes two. The old nature loves to serve self rather than serve God. The old nature tends to leave God out of decisions and actions based on those decisions. The old nature is constantly tempting us to rebel against God. I read a cute story, more than cute, I read a really good story about a missionary who preached to the American Indians, and a number of them became converted Christians. And one of those Indians, after he became a Christian, gave this testimony to his tribe. He said, "There are two dogs who live within me. One is the old dog. He is mean and vicious and hard and sinful. Then there's the new dog who walks with Christ. Those two dogs are constantly fighting to have control of me. Which one wins? The one I feed the most. That's which one wins." Isn't that true? What an interesting way to put it. Great way to put it. Let's talk about feeding those dogs for a minute. New birth in us is not the end result. It's just the beginning. And that process never ends until we go to heaven. As long as you're breathing, you're still going through this whole growing process of being a Christian after your new birth. When you were born again, just like when your mother gave birth to you, you were just a baby in the Lord. Just a baby in the Lord. It doesn't matter what age the calendar says you are, you're still a baby in the Lord. You needed others to take care of you. You needed others to keep you safe. You needed others to keep you spiritually healthy. And you needed others to help you cope with this new spiritual life that you found yourself living. And you still do. I still do. Some Christians are still in diapers. Some Christians are still in diapers, even if they're old enough to collect Social Security. And some are in the process of becoming independent in their Christian walk. And they're almost ready to leave home, but not quite. And still others are way down the road in their spiritual maturity, much further than any of us. But all of us have this in common. All of us, you and I, have this in common. Growing up in Christ is not a solo event. It takes at least a duet. We need one another. It takes two. And with their help, we have to learn how to feed the new dog. And not just learn how to feed the new dog, but actually do it. When I feed my old dog, I enjoy the world and all that it has to offer. I enjoy doing lots of things that make me feel good, even if they step on somebody else's toes, or even worse than that, displease the Lord. And I look for others to join me in all of that. The more the merrier. Let's get together and feed the old dog. How are you doing with that, by the way? Now, when I feed the new dog, it opens my eyes to a whole new level of feeling good. And I look for others to join me in the whole adventure and to be with me and be beside me, because it's not a solo event. The more the merrier. How are you doing with that? When I was a child back in North Carolina, I needed lots of teachers. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I needed even more teachers. Thank God for sending men and women into my life to teach me more about God. What about you? Can you think about the people in your life right now? Think way back. Who helped you know more about God? Thank God for them. Just take a moment right now and think about it. And thank God for bringing them into your life to help hold your hand and help you learn how to walk closely with God. When I was a child back in North Carolina, sometimes my body got sick. Now, my mother would care for me. She would nurse me, but sometimes she took me to the doctor. In my little town, we had, count them, we had two doctors. And each one of them had a nurse. Because it takes two. It takes two. Thank God for those doctors and for those nurses. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ and I was reborn, I thought, I'll never be sick again. Boy, was I wrong about that. Thank God for all the healers in my life, but thank him most for the great physician that he sent into our lives. Can I hear an amen? Thank you, God. Whenever I got dirty and I started to stink, I learned that I needed a shower and I needed to get rid of that dirt. When I was born again, I learned that my inner self was even dirtier, and that Jesus needed to shower me with his love and forgiveness and his cleansing power. It takes two different showers, one to clean my body and one to clean up my act. How are you doing with that? And after a nice warm shower, I loved putting on clean, crisp clothes. It was very satisfying. After I was born again, I learned that Paul said this in Romans 13, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. I discovered that to be far more satisfying. Have you discovered that? It takes two sets of clothes. One to hide my nakedness, and one to cover my guilt and my shame. And I thank God for both. I could go on and on with these analogies, but I want to emphasize what I've already said. You can never grow up in Christ as a soloist. Let me repeat that. You can never grow up in Christ as a soloist. In fact, it takes a whole choir of singers to help you get through it. Maybe a better way to say that is it takes a whole choir of sinners to help you get through it. It takes brothers and sisters to hold you accountable. That's a tough one. It takes brothers and sisters to hold you accountable and who will encourage you and who will fight the good fight and help you win the race. In fact, the Bible talks about all of that. And these are just a few examples. These are some jewels from the scripture. I love these. Proverbs 27, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Let's take the gender out of it. Iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens another. Have you ever had that happen in your life? Have you ever had a brother or sister come along and help you with that, you know, sharpening your life and focusing your spiritual life? If you haven't, the fat lady has not sung yet. It's not too late. This is Galatians 6. If anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Have you experienced that? Have you been caught by a brother or sister who brought to your conscience, I shouldn't be doing that, or I should not have done that? I need to get back on track. Sometimes we need to sing a duet with somebody who can get us back on track. James 5, it says, confess your sins to one another. I wouldn't even think of that, you gossip hounds. No. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, intercessory prayer, that you may be healed. That's part of being in the choir. Ecclesiastes 4, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. That's getting to be more and more of an interesting scripture. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But that passage continues with a very serious warning. It goes like this. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? I think you know this. He's not talking about our physical lives. He's talking about our spiritual lives, our walk with Christ. It comes down to this. If you are a Lone Ranger Christian, you are not obeying the teachings of our Lord. If you just come here on Sundays and then you retreat to your cave, you are not following the teachings of our Lord. Whether you feel like it or not, to walk closely with other Christians in order to be spiritually healthy and whole is a requirement. It takes two. In fact, it can take a whole lot more than two. But hear this. There's a flip side to all of this, because they need you too. Hello? They need you. The tragedy is that in the church, some Christians only take and seldom or maybe even never give. If you do not help your brothers and sisters stay in their walk with the Lord and grow in Him, then you are not following the Lord's teachings. Hey, look around this room. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. You, you. I beg you, examine yourself in all of this and do not be a soloist. Jesus said, love one another. He did not say, be loved by others. Active verb, you, me, love one another. John elaborated on that thought in 1 John 3:15. He said, We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That is huge. Huge! How are you doing with that? And John continues. He said, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us love with words. Let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and with truth. Not only is it tragic when many Christians take and don't give, but Jesus said another even larger tragedy awaits them. It's found in Matthew 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom that is prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Was he talking about only the physical needs of one another? Of course not. No. He was including the spiritual needs that all of us share. And then comes these truly sobering, actually frightening words. Matthew 25, 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. Brothers and sisters, this is not me telling you about your final judgment. This is Jesus telling you about your final judgment and mine. If you have been born again, you should not only know those scriptures, but you should join the choir. At least you should sing a duet. Because it takes two. Let's pray. Father, I don't know whether this fell on deaf ears or not, but you do. And I pray that if there is anyone in our midst today who needs to hear this word, that you will stir their heart and move them from that solo existence, withdrawn from other brothers and sisters, and help them to join the party and to be part of your family. And Father, I pray that you will help us to minister to one another in all the ways that we can, that you lead us to minister to one another. And may we be willing to accept that ministry in our own lives because of Jesus. And we pray in his name. All the people of God said, amen.